France, as much as in many other countries, during the whole history of mankind, there have been quite a lot of very strange phenomena in the skies. There had been a big UFO waves in 1954 in France. There were about 300 reports of close encounters. One of the most famous ones happened in the north of France, in a place called Carouble. There were young people, many of them who were convinced that everything was going to be revealed, that they were going to find the truth about UFOs, etc.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen, you know. So they became skeptical. They began attacking GEPAN as soon as it was created, you know. French ufologists attacked GEPAN. There has been a big split in French ufology, and it still goes on today. I think we can be fairly optimistic, I would say, that the French are back on the map of ufology and that we are going to make some progress.
And now, ladies and gentlemen, the Null of America Audio, with your host, Tim Benal.
Hello there, my friends. This is Tim Benal of BenalofAmerica.com with another edition of BOA Audio Season 3. It is March 23rd, 2008, and this week we're calling over to Paris, France, for another look at international ufology with our guest, Gildas Bourdais, noted French ufologist. He's going to be joining us for an in-depth discussion on the French UFO scene. We're going to be talking about its history and evolution, the fascinating story of the various official government-sponsored French UFO projects throughout the years, the Cometa Report, media coverage of UFOs, the attitude of the everyday public with regards to the UFO phenomenon, the release of the French UFO files in March 2007, the state of French ufology today, and tons more. It is a French-rich episode here with Gildas Bourdais. What he has to say is fascinating stuff, and it is definitely a must-hear interview for any student of international ufology and the global UFO scene. For those of you who are unfamiliar with Gildas Bourdais, let me give you a little bit of background on him. Gildas Bourdais was born in 1939, studied business administration, worked in technical publishing, and lives near Paris, France. He became interested in UFOs, first by reading the books of French author Aimé Michel in the 1960s, and the books of Dr. J. Allen Hynek and Jacques Vallée in the 1970s. He became an active researcher only at the end of the 1980s, after becoming aware of new developments at that time, especially regarding Roswell, UFO secrecy, abductions, and cattle mutilations. He became also interested in the historical, mythological, and religious dimensions of the UFO phenomenon. He's the author of 6 books, and has been a speaker at several conferences, starting in Brazil in 1997, and in France, Italy, Great Britain, the United States, and Ireland. And now, my friends, without any further ado, let's rock and roll. This interview was recorded in 2 parts, first on the 13th of February and then on the 15th of February. It's a pretty seamless cut. I don't think anyone will even notice it. But for the record, this interview was recorded on February 13th and 15th. Gildas Bourdais, talking about French ufology on BOA Audio. Season 3. Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to a very special edition of Benal of America Audio. We have a very cool guest here, direct from Paris, France, Gildas Bourdais. He's going to be telling us all about French ufology and the French UFO scene. As many of the listeners know, I have a great interest in the international UFO phenomenon. When I finally got a hold of Gildas, I knew I wanted to have him on the show here. So we can learn something here about the French UFO scene in French ufology, and Gildas is one of the big players over there in French ufology, so I'm excited to talk to him and really find out a lot about what's going on over there in Europe with the UFO scene. Gildas, it's a great pleasure to have you on the show. Welcome to Benal of America Audio.
Hi, I'm glad to be invited.
Well, let's start out with just sort of the general biography background. You know, who is Gildas Bourdais? How did you get interested in the UFO phenomenon?
Well, I am 68 years old now, and I am retired, but I worked in technical publishing after having made some business studies, the equivalent of an MBA. Mm-hmm. So that's my professional background. It has nothing to do with UFOs, but I became interested in that long time ago when I was already a student. I was there were already some interesting French studies being done at that time. You know, there had been a big UFO waves in 1954 in France, which was well studied by a French journalist, Aimé Michel, and he made a good book. So it was already very interesting in France. And then there was, of course, all the UFO scene, especially in the United States. Mm-hmm. And I became more and more interested. And especially in the during the 70s, when, well, to tell you the truth, when there was the publication of the Condon Report, which said there was nothing, I believed it.
Oh, wow.
That was in 1969. So I lost somewhat interest. I was more interested in the conquest of the moon, the moon landings, the Apollo landings at the time. But then there was the book of Alan Hynek, the astronomer who had been the scientific advisor for the Blue Book study in the U.S. Air Force. And these astronomers published a book saying, yes, there are UFOs. So it was a big shock, actually. And I told myself, if this man says that, there must be something to it, you see. And then I became interested. And again, and in France, at the same time, there were many UFO observations, and there was a lot of interest for UFOs in France with a journalist, Jean-Claude Bourret, who made radio shows and called OVNI pas de panique, UFOs don't panic, you see. It was very interesting. And he made a series of books. And that's when there was a creation, though at the end of the 70s in France, but I suppose we are going to go back on that, of the French service. And I became more and more interested. There was I was less interested in the 80s because it was becoming confusing again. But I caught a book almost by chance toward the end of the 80s, which was the second book of the American writer Whitley Strieber about abduction experiences. And I was fascinated by this story. I began reading lots of books on abductions and also on Roswell later on. So I became a kind of French specialist on Roswell. And finally, I have written books in the 90s. And even recently, I have written six books, and I have become known as ufologist. That's my story.
There you go. You have given me already a lot of food for thought here. Before we talk about the official French ufology, I guess let's talk a little bit about what you know as far as the history of the UFO phenomenon in France. You know, like here in America, we sort of have the airships of the late 1800s, and then we have Foo Fighters of World War II, and then you know, when my listeners know the history of ufology in America from that point on.
Yes.
What was going on over in France as far as UFO sightings and the evolution of the phenomenon there?
Yes. Well, publicly speaking, there were observations of UFOs around the beginning of the 50s, some interesting sightings. And as I said already, there was a big wave in 1954. There were lots of close encounters already at that time, many more than nowadays, actually.
Huh.
There was sustained interest with many books. There were already some private groups of ufology being created at the time, in the 50s. There were some pioneers, like the French writer Jimmy Guyeux, who wrote a couple of books which were quite advanced at the time. So there was an interest for UFOs in France, definitely. But these things became much more serious with the creation of the French official study group in 1977.
Yeah.
Called GEPAN. GEPAN means group for, what does it mean, by the way? for the study of aerospatial, unidentified aerospatial phenomena, mm-hmm. which means in French, phénomène aérospatiaux non identifié. The initials is PAN, P-A-N, which is the same as UAP in English, you see.
Yeah.
And so there was a creation of French service in 1977, an official service inside the French National Center for Special Studies, Centre National d'Études Spatiales, CNES. Mm-hmm. It was a small service, of course, but it had the luck to come across rapidly upon some very interesting cases.
Let me jump in with a question here based on you sent an awesome article that you've written called The Death and Rebirth of Official French Ufology. And,
right. That's the story, yes.
And there'll be, we'll have a hard link to that at the website with the interview. And the question I had that is sort of in the time frame that you're talking about with GEPAN is that you say in the article that the creation of GEPAN was really driven by the military and was opposed by science.
Exactly. That's an interesting point, I think. Because there was a military study, which was made in 1974, or maybe later, I don't know exactly the date, but a couple of years before the creation of GEPAN. Mm-hmm. And it was made inside the Institute for Advanced Studies on National Defense, or in French, Institut des Hautes Études de Défense Nationale, they had made recommendation. I have a copy of it, actually. It was given to me. And they recommended the creation of GEPAN. But on the other hand, in the scientific and intellectual circles, there was very little consideration for UFOs. They were considered to be phony stories, purely psychological phenomena. And so there was, there was a sharp contrast between the military on one side and some people in the CNES, like the director of the time, Yves Sillard. If you have seen my paper, you have his photo on it. And he was a very important person in the history of French ufology, because he created GEPAN, and together with the engineer Claude Poher, who had done himself some studies personally, like statistical studies. So these people joined and together for the creation of GEPAN. That's how it happened.
Yeah.
After that, well, there were some ups and downs, as you have seen in my story, in the story, and some sharp ups and downs, actually.
You're saying the sharp ups and downs in GEPAN or just over the course of time since then, with, you know, the closing and the opening and all that stuff?
Well, there were conflicts as soon as it was created, actually.
Oh, really?
That's one thing I didn't mention in my article, but let me tell you a word about that. In France at the time, there was a split in among ufologists. Mm-hmm. Some of them began to be very skeptical about UFOs. Let me explain this way, because there were young people, many of them who were convinced that everything was going to be revealed, that they were going to find the truth about UFOs, etc.
Yeah.
And that didn't happen, you know. We are still faced with a big mystery. So they became skeptical, some of them. Mm-hmm. They began attacking GEPAN as soon as it was created, you know. French ufologists attacked GEPAN. So that's another peculiar situation, a particularity of the French story, that the ufologists were attacking the GEPAN at the time when GEPAN was launching into very interesting studies. Isn't that funny?
Yeah, it's strange. It's very strange.
It's very strange, yes.
Were they skeptical of the government aspect of it, where they thought it was going to be part of the cover-up? Is that sort of where their complaints were?
Some of them, yes. There were, well, the skeptics were against UFOs.
Yeah.
But there were also some conspirationist-oriented people already at the time.
Yeah.
who were already denouncing the cover-up in France. So the GIPO was attacked on both sides in some way. And this is still the case today, by the way.
Really?
It is still that way today. In the French GIPO of today, you have the skeptics. I am speaking of ufology here, the ufological population. There are skeptics which are, they have published a book on the internet attacking everything that Chapin has done in 30 years, all the best cases. And on the other side, you have people, conspirationist minded, who keep denouncing cover-up. So that's an interesting point. Let's talk about it one second. Are there secret files in France? I think there are, yes, probably, but not many. Not many. That's another very big difference with the American scene, because in the United States, you don't have actually any official service today.
Yeah.
But everyone understands that there are big studies, you know, big files. And as you know, there has been a press conference lately in November in Washington, mm-hmm. with many important witnesses, like two generals and others, who ask for the reactivation of official studies in the United States. Who knows? Maybe this is going to happen. I don't know. Do you know?
I wish.
I don't know.
I wish.
Okay.
Let me jump in here on the timeline and ask you, when you were telling your biography part here, you said things were confusing in the 80s. Did you mean
yes.
in the UFO scene things were confusing, or just that, you know, you had other things going on in your life and you weren't interested in UFOs?
No, the UFO scene was becoming confusing because it was becoming very complex. There were many cases which drew attention at that time of sightings which displayed some absurd scenes. There were some crazy observations of beings like we already had seen that in 1954, but it began to weigh a lot on ufology,
yeah.
It seems to me. And then there was in the United States that things became much more complex also with the beginning of the Roswell case and many testimonies about secret research and operations, mm-hmm. and also a very big new development, which was many more and more testimonies of abductions.
Yeah.
And also, you had this very peculiar and worrying problem of cattle mutilations, which apparently, well, that's my opinion, which is shared by many people, which is somehow linked with UFOs. I don't know what you think about that, but all these added up to make us very, very, well, it was becoming very confusing, in fact.
Yeah.
That's what I said.
Do you want to keep going here with the chronology of official French ufology? Should we keep talking about
yes,
that?
Yes, we can okay. come back on that. And then, so what happened at the beginning of the 80s was they came across two very good cases, the Trans-en-Provence case and Lamarante in 1981 and 82. Mm-hmm. And they made some very sharp studies in that, especially on, in Trans-en-Provence, there was a brief landing of a small UFO in a garden in the south of France, which left a round trace on the ground and which made some very bizarre effects on plants around. And this was very well studied. There was the military police officers, who came and took measurement pictures and took samples of the plants, which were studied in a public laboratory. There were agreements, by the way, which had been passed with several laboratories, so all this was done very well, actually, despite the critics, because there are also, as I said, people who criticized everything, who said that it was no good at all, but that's not true. It was very well made. It drew a lot of interest in the world, around the world. But what happened then is that obviously this didn't please at all the scientific establishment. And shortly afterward, the activity of Japan was reduced drastically. So the engineer in charge at the time was Alain Esterle, because Claude Poher had left already. He was disappointed because after a couple of years, he had the impression that they didn't listen to him. So he had left already. Mm-hmm. Then Alain Esterle left in 1983, that's 1 year after the two cases I was talking about. The activity was reduced, and there was only one young engineer left, Jean-Jacques Velasco. And Jean-Jacques Velasco has been a courageous man. I think we can say that today, because he left, he remained, I mean, at Japan during 20 years. And he retired just last year.
Let me sort of, I'll sort of jump in and help you out a little bit here.
Yes.
Because Japan, eventually they changed the name. It became SEPRA. So why don't you talk about
yes,
that transition?
Yes. Well, it was the time when the service was very reduced, and SEPRA didn't refer anymore to UFOs. Actually, it was supposed to study debris from rockets and satellites, things like that, you know. Mm-hmm. But it was still studying UFOs, but very discreetly. But what happened is that in 1999, a group of senior officers, both public and military, called Cometa, issued a report, the Cometa report in 1999, mm-hmm. which had quite a lot of impact. And in that report, they said several things. They said that, yes, there are UFOs. Yes, they are probably extraterrestrial. They pose a problem of national defense. And there is obviously a policy of secrecy in the United States about that, mainly in the United States, not only, but mainly. And we should resume studying UFOs seriously in France. We should reactivate the group. Mm-hmm. And that's what happened in the following years. Again, there was a very shaky history again for a couple of years, because the engineer Velasco got tired of being rebuked all the time on both sides, as I explained, from the skeptics and from the conspirationists. You know, the, mm-hmm. And he published his book, his own book, in 2004, which was called the time OVNI L'Evidence, UFOs the Evidence, which is a play on words in French, because in French, evidence means obviousness, actually. When he meant, yes, of course, the presence of UFOs is obvious.
Yeah.
He said about almost the same things as the Cometa report, actually, it was. And then there was a almost immediate reaction against that, which was to close the service, the SEPRA. But then 1 year later, they realized that it was impossible to remain that way. There was a lot of pressure in the press and around to reopen it. And the decision was made in July 2005 by a new director of CNES, the French National Center for Spatial Studies, to create a new department. And that was what we have now. The Japon, the same name with an I added for information. Japon. So there was a new engineer who replaced Jean-Jacques Velasco, Jacques Patenet, and he's already a senior engineer in NES, 59. He was 59 already, and he's not very far from retirement now. So probably in a couple of years there will be a new man at Japon.
Wow.
And perhaps it will give some new blood to Japan, who knows? Because this man is an honorable engineer. He's a nice man. I have met him several times. But obviously, he doesn't want to shake too much the the tree, if I can say that.
Yeah. And one of the points that you make in the in your piece here, The Death and Rebirth of Official French Ufology, is a common misconception by some that Cometa was issued by the French government, which it wasn't. It was a civilian, independent civilian report, correct?
Yes, yes. It was a civilian, independent and civilian, but to tell the truth, they began the study with the approval of the Institute for Advanced Studies on National Defense, the IHEDN. They began the study inside IHEDN. At the time, the head of IHEDN, General Nolin, approved them. And you have, in the Cometa report, if you have seen it with the illustration, you have the picture of the General Nolin, who was high in the military hierarchy. He was a four-star general. And he approved the launching of that study. But later on, he was replaced by a new man who didn't like at all the study. So they stepped out of IHEDN and became a completely independent and private group. But in that group, you have several senior officers, like the head of the group, General Denis Letty, who is Air Force General, another Air Force General, General Bruno Lemoine. You had Admiral Merlot, who is dead now. You had several senior engineers for armaments, so very official people, actually.
Yeah.
That's why there was many people and just felt that it was an official report, but it was not really.
Yeah.
That's the explanation.
Before we sort of jump into some other stuff, let me just sort of jump back, I guess you could say, to the history of the UFO phenomenon in France. You said that there was this wave in 54, but France has a long history. Were UFOs a part of that history? Was it something that people knew about and talked about, or was it something that sort of just burst on the scene in the 1900s, if you will?
Ah, so you want to go back a long time ago in history?
Yes.
What I can say is that in France, as much as in many other countries, during the whole history of mankind, there have been quite a lot of very strange phenomena in the skies. And we had a share of that in France, too.
Mm-hmm.
Definitely, yes. There were observations all the centuries where we have historical records.
Yeah, okay.
To give an example, there was in the 18th century, some patients saw a big luminous sphere land in their fields, and they gathered around, but it was very impressive, so they didn't come too close. But suddenly there was a door which opened, and beings which stepped out and fled. That's the kind of story you have. And then the sphere exploded, if I remember well.
Weird.
Yes, very weird.
Now, do you want to talk about the UFO wave of the 50s?
Yes.
Let's talk about that.
The 1954 wave is a very interesting wave because there were many close encounters.
Yeah.
I think there were about 300 reports of close encounters.
Wow.
One of the most famous ones happened in the north of France in a little place called Carouble in France. And the main witness was Marius de Wild, or de Wild, whatever you want to pronounce it. It's a very peculiar case because it has remained probably a secret file. That's an example of it.
Yeah.
This man was a worker in the steel works nearby, and he was living in a little house along a railway track in the country. It was a rather isolated area. And then he heard noise, his dog barking, and came out, and he came across two little beings which scared him a lot. And there was a craft landed on the railway track. And these beings went back to the craft, and it took off. But after that, they found traces on the railway track, on the wooden pieces.
Huh.
And later, so the gendarmes, the police de l'air, the air police, etc., the engineers of the railway came and studied all that. And 2 years later, you know, the journalist I was talking about at the beginning, Aimé Michel, who studied that wave, met with a railway engineer who told him that they had measured the weight of the craft with the prince. Mm-hmm. It was about 30 tons.
Wow.
And Jean-Jacques Velasco, when he was became the engineer at CEPRA, he tried to find the file, but could never put his hands on it.
Huh.
He wrote that in his book, you know.
Yeah.
So that's a pretty impressive case.
Absolutely, definitely.
You see?
These sort of close encounters were going on all the time there in the 50s, huh?
Well, there were, yes, there were quite a few. There were many cases, and that's why ufology became soon active in France, actually, with a lot of groups. Well, it has. There have been ups and downs again.
Mm-hmm.
And recently, it has... After so many ups and downs, the French ufology has been active again, probably also because of the reactivation of the official service.
Yes.
The present situation is, I would call it intermediary. We are not so active as like in the United States, for instance. We don't have big groups like MUFON and that.
Okay, now we've talked about the history of official French ufology via the CNES. We followed it from Gapon to CEPRA, the Cometa release, the closing of CEPRA, and, of course, the recreation of the new Gapon. I guess before we jump into unofficial civilian ufology, I wanted to ask you, why do you think there is still an interest in official ufology in France when here in America in the early 70s we closed down our version of what you guys have? You know, we closed down Blue Book, and
yes,
there is no official U.S. UFO agency, but in France, it's been going on since 77. Why do you think there is such a big difference there between the two countries and official stances on UFOs?
I think that we don't have so many secrets in France than in the United States. That's why. You see my point?
Yeah, yeah.
And I think that the American... military,
mm-hmm,
mainly the U.S. Air Force and other bodies, have accumulated considerable knowledge about UFOs.
Yes.
But behind doors, behind closed doors. Well, my opinion, it's that it began in the 40s already with the Roswell case and maybe other fires before that. So there is a much longer and much bigger history of ufology in the United States, in your country, but a good part of it remains unknown, secret. In France, as I said, we probably have some secret files. I gave an example with the very curious landing in 1954, which was thoroughly studied, but... Jean-Jacques Velasco, the engineer, couldn't find the file when he looked for it. You know. So there are probably secret files in France, but at a very, very, very smaller scale, you know. And I would say it is probably the same in other European countries. In Italy, I know a little bit. Italy, I have been invited there several times, and twice I have seen two separate years an Air Force colonel presenting the UFO studies inside the Italian Air Force. And in Great Britain, there are secret rows probably, although some people think there are not, but like Nick Pope, who is a friend of mine, who was responsible for the UFOs in the 90s, he had the UFO desk at the Ministry of Defense in Great Britain. And they are publishing some, they are beginning to publish on the internet the UFO files, a bit like the French have done. So it's the same in Spain. They have published some files, and it is the same in South America. They have. I have been invited in the autumn in Brazil, and there were many official studies presented there. from Chile, from Peru, from Brazil, from Uruguay. Mm-hmm. So I would say that the French case is not very peculiar. It is the American case which is very peculiar to
them. Yeah. Based on what you know, because I had Nick Pope on the show and we were talking about this very question of why it's still going on in the UK and not in the US.
Yes.
Would you say the situation is the same in the UK where, as in France, where, you know, there may be some secret files, but they're not as prevalent as in the United States?
Yes, plausibly.
Yeah.
I would say that it's also plausible that they know more than the French because they are closer to the Americans.
Yeah.
So that would say that the British are somewhere in between.
Okay. Like I said, we've talked about the official ufology world over there in France, but let's talk about the unofficial world, the civilian
yes.
ufology. For starters, I guess just talk a little bit about how it sort of started over there and how long it's been going on, you know, the
yes.
civilian interest in ufology and sort of that evolution. Like here in America, to give you an example, you know, it started out with scientists that were interested in it, turned into, you know, NICAP and APRO, and now we have MUFON,
right.
and it had its ups
yes.
and downs. Let's talk about the history of civilian
yes.
ufology in France.
Well, there have been quite a number of independent ufologists, but the French have never been able to build independent groups as strong as the American ones you were just mentioning.
Mm-hmm.
So it's it has remained a little scattered and with ups and downs along the years and the decades, and it's still more or less the case today. However, we did have some very good studies made by independent groups and publications, and it started in the 50s with some interesting works. For instance, the study of the UFO wave, which I mentioned already, of 1954, which was very well made by Aimé Michel, with a book which he published in 1958, and some other books, some translation to had some effect, like books of Frank Edwards, but this was a bit later. Now, it began to take shape in France in the 60s with two groups and magazines. The first one was called GEPA, not to be mistaken with GEPAN.
Yes.
That was in the 60s. GEPA meant Groupe d'études des phénomènes aérospatiaux, something like that. And it was, it had some backing from important people. It was presided over during several years by an Air Force general, General Lionel Chassin, with many stars on his shoulders. I don't remember. I think five stars.
Oh, wow.
But five stars is the first. We have one more star in France, you know.
Oh.
But he was an important, general in the Air Force. So that's, you see, another example as soon as the 60s of manifest interest of the military
yeah.
for UFOs. And they had a good review, Phénomène Spatiaux, which lasted during about 20 years, with René Fouéré, who was the editor. And there was another group which appeared in the 60s too, called Lumière dans la Nuit, which is a poetic name, Lights in the Night.
Mm-hmm.
And they had a review, which still exists today, in short, LDLN. And it was started by a good man, Fernand Lagarde, who published also a very interesting book at the time, in the 70s. And later on, it was taken over by Joël Ménard, who still runs the review today. I like this review, although it is a very small one, because it has been keeping a good level of study and thinking in ufology
yeah.
over the years. So I want to stress that. But also there were some journalists, well-known journalists who began to take interest in UFOs in the 70s. There was a wave of interest, as I mentioned already.
Yeah.
And there was a journalist, Jean-Claude Bourret, who began to talk about UFOs in a popular radio show and who published several books in the 70s. So it seemed to be getting momentum in the 70s.
Mm-hmm.
However, it didn't went so easily because beginning in 75 appeared a movement of skepticism in French ufology. One of the main proponents of that trend was Michel Monnery, who came from that group, Lumière dans la Nuit, and who was separated from that group and became a complete skeptic with a book which was published in 1975. And it was followed by other books and authors. Michel Monnery joined the very rationalist French institution called Union Rationaliste, the Rationalist Union. Perhaps the France is the only country in the world to have an Union Rationaliste, I don't know. That is a very specific French aspect of a French situation.
Yeah.
And that Union Rationaliste was presided over by a well-known astronomer of the French establishment, who, by the way, was also a communist militant, Evry Schatzman. And this man has been very powerful at the time, and even in the 90s he remained quite powerful. I think he's dead now. But this trend, you know, is part of the French landscape. You have to know that, mm-hmm. that there is a rationalist trend in academic the circles, the French intellectual circles, establishment, and scientific establishment. So, how do ufology stand in front of all these people? Well, they are a small activity, and they have remained so. We have to admit that. The main shape of mind in French, the French scientific and intellectual world remains one of skepticism. I don't know if we can say that in the United States, but I'm afraid it is still a bit that way too.
Yeah.
So what happened is that at the end of the 70s, there was a very peculiar situation where official ufology was beginning.
Mm-hmm.
With very good studies, as I said already. But at the same time, there was a skeptical trend taking shape. And these people attacked Japon at the time.
Yes.
There was an article in the popular magazine Science et Vie attacking the Japon at the very time when it was created. It was very bizarre.
Mm-hmm.
And even Joël Ménard, who is a friend of mine, I met him in the beginning of the 90s when I began studying, say, ufology. He told me that at the time, at the end of the 70s, he was very discouraged because of these people like Monnery and others.
Mm-hmm.
And Bartel and Brucker, who had written a devastating book against the French UFO wave of 1954. And Joël Ménard was discouraged. He was considering quitting completely ufology and going back to his job, professional job as a mathematics teacher. But then he suddenly realized that the book of Bartel and Brucker on the UFO wave of 1954 was full of errors and lies. He discovered that. And then he changed his mind. And he became more than ever positive and active in ufology. So you see, there has been, since that time, since the end of the 70s and the beginning of the 80s, mm-hmm. there has been a big split in French ufology. And it still goes on today.
I'm there for one reason. to challenge you for a world championship match in WrestleMania.
You're listening to Banal of America Audio.
You get the giant, the only professional wrestler who's still undefeated, and Hulk Hogan, Hulkamania is over. Ha 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 ha!